Okay, well, everyone on screen. Well, now that Jimbo's introduced himself to Steve, I think you might have all met before, potentially. But look, I'm going to get out of the way real quick. Jimbo, if you don't know him very well, is well, he's just flat out awesome. So just go with that. He and I, we first met face to face, I believe, in ATD in Washington, right? In
Yep, with Catherine.
2019, I think it was 2019. And
Yep.
you've been to a few ATDs and other conferences since. And so you're well placed to sort of host this kind of conversation. And ever since we've met, you've been a big collaborator, a big contributor, and you've become a good mate. So just go for it. Have fun with these guys.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Peter. And again, as I was before we put the push the record button, talking with Steve and saying thanks for his sharing. I can't say how much I value this group of people because I never planned on being an entrepreneur. I never planned on creating a brand. I never planned on having a business. I was always a trainer, and I had a company so I could give a receipt, And so kind of like you have to have a website and you got to have a business license, and these are the two requirements for the job. And there's such a low barrier to entry into this business, that's kind of it. And my shift from, deliverer of programs to an entrepreneur was unexpected and not even desirable. And so finding Into-In as a group of people, so this is me leading to my ATD story. When I first met Into-In, I was just thinking about going to ATD, and on your website you had some conversations, Pete, about that. From people debriefing, I think it might have even been 2017 or 18 ATDs. And I listened to those two or three times. I just went through it, like, and I'm like, oh my God, this is so good. It's like there's a way to get inside the black box of what's going on. Because it's hard. It's hard. And the one thing that I learned from those conversations was it's hard to make ATD pay off. In business, it's hard to make a conference really pay off. And the other thing that I learned was you got to plan on going to at least three. If you go to one, you should go to three because it's going to take, there's a long cycle of trust building that happens, and people don't just meet you at a booth and say, oh my God, here's my credit card, let's go. And so this year I'm going to my third ATD, and at the end of this third ATD, I'll decide if I'm going back or not. Stay tuned. I just wanted to acknowledge the wisdom of this group, and we all stand on the shoulders of giants, and it's nice to think that someday maybe this conversation will lead to someone else having a better business and being more confident in how they go about the business of building their business. So having said that, I guess my first question is, why in the world would you get on a plane and spend money to exhibit at a conference? Because, and this is actually the biggest shift in my thinking is every time I got on a plane as a trainer, I knew how much money I was going to take away from that. And so if the client wasn't paying enough, I would say no. And if they were, I would say yes. And so before I got on the airplane, I would know how much money I'm making. I'd know how much time I was spending away from my family. And it was very transactional. And when you go to a conference, there's no guarantee. It's an investment. And so I thought, let's start on the positive side. And so, like why would you do it? And especially expoing, like being at the expo. And Pete, I love what you shared with me in the video ask, because I think Pete's got the guerrilla approach, guerrilla warfare approach, the guerrilla expo approach. But why would you do that? So maybe just open up to anyone who wants to unmute and talk about why would you get on an airplane and pay cash money to do that?
I'd like to say hi to everybody. I haven't said hi yet. And Steve, Harry, I know we've met. Catherine, I think so. Yeah. Steve, have we met in person?
Can't recall. I don't think so, but I could be wrong. And I apologize if that is the case.
No, hi. It's nice to meet you. I'm Nate.
Nice to meet you as well. Nice to meet you as well. Absolutely. Pleasure.
I was going to jump in and get a response started. So I've attended conferences in a variety of different ways. When I first started my career, it was in financial services. And when we attended those conferences, it was really to gather intelligence around what was going on in the space. And unless you were prepared, you know, be prepared with your offer, but then be prepared that folks were going to be coming by to gather intelligence about you, then we didn't present, you know, we didn't stay at a booth, right? And so as I shifted my career, as my career evolved into the training space, I started to attend the ATD conference. I guess the first one I went to was in 07 maybe. And at that point I was just going as a consumer of learning. I was just trying to, so folks, other, you know, people are just trying to see what the thought leaders are in the space are doing to get ideas, right? So at that point, I think, you know, folks are a little overwhelmed by the amount of information that's coming at them, both in terms of from a learning perspective, and then like in that big expo center, all these entities trying to compete for your attention, right? So at that point, I really feel like people are gathering data, whether they're gathering data about what the person next to them is doing, right? Or what they should be doing, or they've already planned to meet with either prospects or clients, and you know they're going to be there. And so being able to direct them to your booth is then just the starting point for a conversation, but then you get to have that face-to-face if you've been remote. So there are, with ATD, because it's just so large and they put out so many different kinds of product, the Expo Center is just one vehicle for touching people. And I think it's just like where your booth is positioned is super important. And then sort of how it fits into your overall strategy. If you know that your customers are going to be there, then you can, you know, it's another touch point where you can connect with them. And then you sort of have credibility, because if you've invested the money to have that space, then you're doing all right. You're not scrimping by if you've made that investment, right? Or you believe that the investment will pay off.
Thank you.
I think that's the key, Catherine, is having those meetings set up in advance, I think, is so critical, and it removes a lot of uncertainty. And it can be hard, obviously, because schedules are shifting, et cetera. But for obviously something as big as ATD, I think that there's going to be a lot more certainty. You'll be able to find the people that you're looking for. But getting those on the calendar in advance, I think, is a huge way to ensure that you can get some sort of ROI, as opposed to just stumbling through the exhibit hall, et cetera, which I think increases the risk dramatically and certainly can be very overwhelming. I think that's exactly the right way to look at it.
Mm. Welcome, Mark. We're kind of just to bring you up to speed. We're sharing kind of what's the benefit of exhibiting or being at an aid, especially ATD in general, because it's such a big, huge thing. And Catherine was saying that a certain amount of it has to do with gathering intelligence, both from you gathering intelligence in the market, but also the markets out there gathering intelligence about you. And that both the location that you have and having clarity on what your offer is, what you want, that your customers are going to be there. And then both Catherine and Steve were talking about setting up meetings beforehand with the contacts that you know are going to be there is a critical to success strategy. And I think that's kind of where we're at so far. And welcome. Any other thoughts?
Thanks for the update, and my apologies for being late. Hi, everybody. Perry, are you okay?
Yeah.
Just saying, mate, you don't look okay. Yeah.
Thanks, Mark.
I mean, yeah, like apart from the fact that he's a good looking guy, you know, the thing around his neck, you know.
Yeah.
It's gonna make it hard to play golf. I'll just say that. Cool. Well, I don't want to interrupt proceedings, but those sound like, you know, like good reasons to be there. Of course, it's easier said than done on all of those yes. dimensions.
Yeah.
You know, finding yeah. the people who are going to be there, you know, the people you want to meet. But that's problem one. Actually getting them to respond to your email, you know, like giving them something that they might actually want to talk to you while you're there. You know, that's problem number two. And then problem number three is when you do all that, they don't turn up.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's not to say that's not valuable. It's just that, you know, like it just the reality is that it's a lot harder to do than and say.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a big investment. It's a very big investment. No question. Especially for those of you who are jumping on airplanes. It's a big investment.
Mm. Yeah.
Hey, look, I've never exhibited, you guys, well, most of you know that. I have turned up to a bunch of these. And a word that came up, though, yesterday, I was talking to a colleague of Jimbo's, James Bishop, and the word that came up was faith. You know, I think we turn up to lots of things just because we have faith that something's going to happen, you know. And that can be a one-on-one conversation like the one I had with James yesterday. It can be, you know, I've turned up at anecdote workshops, I went there to learn, but, you know, inevitably someone turns around and says, what do you do? You know, and you start a conversation and, you know, just the faith that something kind of good will happen if you get off your ass and go out there in the world. Right. So, so there's a little bit of faith in there, I think.
So have you heard how Tim Ferriss got started? So, you know, the 4-hour work week yeah. guy.
No.
Well, this is going to be a very crappy retelling, but he would go to conferences and go, you know, go to every possible place where you could meet people. And he would stand there and there would be all these people having a chat and he would just shut up. And then occasionally he'd go, oh, could you tell me more? Could you tell me more? Could you tell me more? And eventually people go, and what do you do? He goes, oh, you know, 4-hour work week, you know, yeah. Oh, really? Right. But he didn't push. He waited until they pulled.
Mm.
And that was his strategy. And he just went to conferences and did this. And gradually people going, oh, that's interesting. I connected to blah, blah, blah. And I really like that as a pull strategy rather than a push strategy. Which almost, you know, like I've tried push strategy. Oh, let me tell you about.
Mm.
Yeah. And Nate, perfect curiosity.
Absolutely.
I mean, here's an example of that. So in 2018, I went to the San Diego ATD just to do that information gathering intelligence. Is this worth my time? You know, and I met a person named Melanie Martinelli, who now she and I and one other person are creating a spinoff product on the box. And so that one of everything that happened, just that one relationship, a one introduction from somebody I knew, said, oh man, you got to meet Melanie. We skipped out and had a drink together instead of going to a session. And that all rolled into a whole bunch of things. And so everything that I've already done with her is more than paid off that investment of flying there and the hotels and all of that. But it took faith rather than strategy. And so I think it's kind of a left foot, right foot thing. There, you got to have a strategy, but then you also have to show up with that open heart and that, you know, and into in. How did I meet into in? It's because I was at the ATD in 2019. And I think Perry's the one who said, oh man, you gotta meet Peter. And they're gonna have a dinner and you gotta go to this dinner. You're gonna meet great people. Then Peter turned me on to Mark. He said, hey, beforehand, we got a conversation, you know. And then we got together and I still remember exactly what I ate that day. I had a charcuterie board. I mean, you know, it was and so all those things happen because you put your body there. Right. So the serendipity. So I guess you know, you're putting yourself in the way of serendipity, and that, and I still get from San Diego, I still meet people in conferences who say, oh, you were the guy walking around with the box at his head at Obama's speech. Cause I had a, my thing is a box on my head. I was just walking around the line with a box on my head. So you just never know, right? Nathan, what about yourself? I know you've done quite a bit of conferencing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be my 7th ATD, but I'm curious, how many of you are going to San Diego? I just want to make a note to connect up with you. Okay,
good deal.
We're going to have dinner.
Yeah,
we're going to have dinner.
The second question I was going to have is there going to be an end-to-end gathering? Or
yes, there is.
Okay.
Oh, we're going to eat.
I haven't bought my tickets yet, so I need to know when to come and what's going on. But yeah, I was in San Diego in 18 and I was in Washington, D.C. in 19. That's when I got to connect with everybody. Our first end-to-end was before San Diego, Rob and I. It was amazing. And one of the people we met there is one of our best trainers out of Poland right now. You probably know Laura Close, so-called.
Yep.
Amazing. Incredible person. So, yeah.
I remember, Nate, it all started with a pair of scissors.
Yes, it did. And it all ended with the last beer.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to making sure it's not the last beer.
I know, right?
And that scissor story is a great story. And it's how I introduce end-to-end.
Yeah.
When I talk to people about it, because it's that sense of giving and returning. Go ahead.
And to answer your question, yeah, it's just curiosity. And we've completely changed our reason for going and our approach and our mindset since the beginning, because I love what you said, Catherine. It's so much intelligence gathering. And so we are just so curious and learning everything we can all the time. And we've done everything from the full on premium sponsorship package with the 20x20 booth all the way down to this year. We're just going with a little 10x10 and the simplest little thing. So yeah.
Yeah.
Are you speaking this year, Nate?
No. Two proposals got turned down again. Have no idea why. I never can get a straight answer. But and I didn't pay to have one. I didn't do a pay to play this year. So nope, not speaking.
Well, I finally got one.
Good job.
Finally. Yes. Yeah, Catherine, I am conscious. I was thinking, I should show this to Catherine before I submit it.
I'm really thrilled to hear that. You know, so that's everyone, when we get together, people talk about the booths. My first experience with ATD, I have volunteered, I have presented. I'm presenting actually on Monday, on Tuesday of next week to a local chapter. So my experience with ATD, I've been invited to publish with them, and I told them their models was 1950s, and I'm not, what I mean? So it's a very, it really sort of depends on the kind of relationship you want to have with the organization. And it's so robust. And being in the expo is one touch point, right? Like, and kudos to you for you're like on the spot when you're in on the expo floor, right? So that, and I'm sure, so you take in a lot. You're in a really interesting vantage point when you do that, right? As you are when you present, Mark. So Mark, I want to hear what you're presenting on, since, you got one through. What are you going to be chatting about?
All right. So the title is Who Done It? ? Building learner engagement and retention using mystery stories.
You're good.
Because seriously, the whole thing is premised on having an attractive title.
It is. Attractive title, really, really clear deliverables in your description of like exactly what people will get, and then having some kind of relationship helps a lot. I've heard being a member and doing things like that, but fantastic. Pete, anything you'd like to add, or Perry? Oh, Perry, we haven't really heard from you yet. Maybe you could share something about your experiences at ATD or other conferences in general.
Right, Jimbo. Well, it was back in 2018 in which I was attending ATD, and that was the first time it was more formalized. In the past, I was just a consumer. But at that time, I was sitting in and with Antidote and Mark's booth, and right across was Nate. So it was a great combination of hopping back and forth. But the thing I do remember is Jimbo, you were doing, I think it was guerrilla marketing and guerrilla gathering intelligence at the time. And so you'd be walking down the aisles with that box on your head and just bumping into people. And so maybe the thought is that Ned said, you know, you got to find the right mix. So what is the right mix in terms of ATD? And I guess luring the audience to have that conversation. So how do you hook them, right?
Yeah. Well, and my question, because I committed to three, and I'm optimistic about this one, but I'm always optimistic about the next one. My question is it going to be better next time for me, instead of paying for that expo booth, to pay to get a couple people who are going, who want to go to the ATD conference, and get them to be, you know, the 4 week, the 4 day work week kind of people with me. And then rent out a bar on the third, on the second night or the third night, and just do a demo for the people that you meet, you know, and say, hey, yeah, you know, you're meeting people. Oh yeah. Yeah. We're going to be putting boxes on people's heads, at this bar. If you want to come and play, you know, come along and we'll buy you a drink. And, you know, we walk away without having had an expo booth and without getting all the time spent on other people's information gathering, because a lot of your time in ATD is spent talking to your competition or talking to future colleagues, you know, talking at this level, like, oh, that's interesting. Tell me about your business model, you know, and that's not really a conversation that maybe is going the way that you want it to go, but you can't say, I don't want to talk to you, because it could be a great partner.
Yeah.
And so
I love that. Yeah. My perspective on that, we've toyed with that different years and we've talked to people. My perspective on that is it really is critical that you get decision makers to those events. And if they're decision makers, it's worth it, that the relationship, if not, man, they're mooching and they're going to go back and not be able to have any influence. And that's a tough call, which is the challenge of ATD, is there's very few actual buyers there and decision makers. They're there, some of them, but I don't know how
you. A lot of them. So what I found last year was there was a certain number. Well, last year, because of COVID, I think a lot of those decision makers didn't even show, and they sent minions out. And so I was just at the training magazine.
They already had COVID, right?
Yeah. Or people that were willing to go to take a chance on Orlando with their family. Yeah. Right. And it's like their first trip out and let's go to Orlando. Or they were staying off the expo floor. The decision maker was staying off the expo floor, and then they had their minions running around. And then the minions would say, oh, hey, tomorrow I'll bring my boss. And so day one was them doing that information gathering. And then on the second day, you might get more of that. But I think that's the other key when it comes to strategy. For me, at least, I've realized that I have to have a strategy to help that person that you meet sell into the business. And so I have to assume that I'm not talking to on the floor at ATD. I think my assumption is that you're not a decision maker, that you are the practitioner and you're seeing a potential for you to do something that you think is cool. And so then what I need to be giving them in my conversations and in what I'm handing them is something that's going to help them communicate the value of this to the decision maker, rather than trying to get this person to say yes.
You've got to give them something interesting, hook.
And then that's such a key strategic viewpoint, a mindset for how you show up at a booth too, is we might not be dealing with sellers, but we're trying to equip influencers with stuff, which is a completely different way of showing up. Yeah. I really appreciate that, Jimbo. Thanks.
So what I can show you what I, Steve, you don't know this, but I help people think out of the box by thinking in the box. And so you think in and out of the box. And so, my actual kind of tool is a physical tool.
Yeah.
And what I did was I put a little sticker with a QR code on it. And then if they wanted to have this, so this is what I'm giving them. I'm not giving them any printed material. I'm actually giving them the tool.
Okay.
And if they wanted to have this, then they had a choice at the Training Mag. They could sign up for a virtual demo in the next 2 weeks, or they could sign up for a call with me. And if they, you know, went through that process, and we would have to take out your camera or take out your phone. Okay, click on the QR code. Okay, now push this button here. Yeah, and now do this. Okay. And we just walk them through the sign up process. And then if they did that, we'd give them the box.
Got it.
And then this becomes what they took back. And what I found out from the people is that these influencers, part of the gig for them of getting the company to pay for their trip is they have to go and share with their peers what they learned. So now what I've told them is, once I figured this out, what I was telling people at the thing, I said, but then when they said, oh yeah, you know, I need to talk to my boss about this. Oh, are you going to have a chance to demo the things that you've learned in a Training Magazine for your team? And they all said, yes, that's what I got to do. I said, here's the way you start. When you first walk in, the very first thing you do before you do anything else is you put this box on your head and you say, hi, my name is Jennifer and I have a box on my head. My name is Jennifer. I still have a box on my head. This box helps me learn how to think out of the box. Can you do that? And they're like, oh my God, that would be so cool.
That's great.
Right. And so now I've given them the actual tool that they're going to get, but it's useless without the facilitation, right? There's no language on it. It's just pictures and whatever. And then the other thing I asked them is I say, well, I know your decision maker's not here. How many people are there that you think you need to have conversations with about this? Oh, two. Here, let me give you two extra boxes.
Yeah.
And I sell these for $40 a piece, right? And so you know, like this is real cash money to me. But so I think giving them things of value, and then for me, I ran 2.5 hour real session, like you can really go through the whole process, or 45-minute demos. So I gave them a choice. Do you want to just get the high level demo, or do you want to actually experience it? And so those are just a couple of examples of things that that I found helpful in terms of getting people to take something away. Is don't give them promotional material, give them content, like real things, something real that they could use. You know, John Chen, a friend of mine, John Chen, you know, he uses his book. So he'll sign his book and you know, and those kinds of things. So you give them something a little bit more real, but then you barter that for a connection of them either attending something or a call.
Can I ask a question more broadly about conferences? I think back to my prior life, and which was investing in businesses. And there were big events that would get put on both nationally and locally called ACG, Association for Corporate Growth. And these were the big shindigs. Everybody would be there, the equivalent of ATD for the middle market investing community. And I don't know that I ever got a deal out of any. They were fun. I always had a blast. It was always something I looked forward to. It's great to see everybody, et cetera. But I don't know that it ever translated into any tangible commercial opportunities of note. And I wonder with regards to something like ATD, and I'm clearly the newbie here, and what I'm about to say may be completely and utterly sacrilegious. So I'm just going to throw that out there in the beginning. But I wonder, what about going to, we do a lot of work with construction companies, for instance, for some reason we do. It's kind of strange. I don't know where it came from, but I start going to industry specific shows where I'm meeting, there are no other training companies there. I mean, that's just something that they wouldn't necessarily think to do, which means I kind of stand out, not box on my head, stand out. I love that. I mean, it's so great, but you kind of stand out, and depending on what you're teaching, it's a less efficient market. I think I just worry a little bit about an ATD getting lost in the noise, because my goodness, there's so much noise. And Catherine, to your point, I should be going for sure, just to gather intelligence. I mean, I'm the newbie here, so making certain that I've got my finger on the pulse of market trends, et cetera, et cetera. That's a lot of money. And it's a big time commitment too. So travel's not a big deal for me. San Diego's close. But I just wonder if the time is better spent going to specific shows or conferences that are more applicable to the industries where we have a lot of experience and capability and credibility already. I don't know if any of you have any thoughts on that.
Steve, we have experience with that, and we're doing that. We're testing it in healthcare. That's where our sweet spot is. A third to a half of all of our clients are in healthcare leadership. So we're experiencing the very same thing that you said, where we're keynoting, we're doing presentations, and we're exhibiting, where we're like the only game in town, where everybody else is selling stuff like malpractice insurance and whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And here's the ups and the downs. The upside of being the only game in town is you have no competition. The downside is nobody can compare you to anything. And what we have found is if there's two or three that are in the same industry, or it's offering the same service, you're actually better off than if you're the only one.
Interesting.
Contrary to what you might think. It's kind of like, I remember when the last appliance store in our hometown went out of business, the local appliance store where everybody bought their stuff went out of, the second to the last one went out of business because of the big box stores. And I remember buying a washer from the local place. And I said, this must be amazing. You're like fishing in a bucket, right? And they're like, no, because they can't go down the street to compare prices. If they go to the big box store, we lose every single time. So having some competition is actually a benefit. So we're playing around with that, and we're trying to find places where there's at least a couple, because then people can walk down the aisle and see why we're better.
Interesting.
That's a great perspective. I love that.
You're putting out something that's got me curious. What if we coalition build where a few of us went to a few of those, and therefore, right, that they'd be comparing us against another end-to-ender. So it would help all of us, because it would give us each credibility and we wouldn't be the only person in town.
And Catherine, I love that, because we could like all.
Oh, sorry, Mark.
But
I was just going to say that I love that idea, because like you can go, oh, actually, you need to go and talk to Jimbo.
Right.
Well, we call that,
yeah, we call
it. All we have to do is decide what it is. Yeah. And then now we have a little mini end-to-end conference. You know, we all get an Airbnb together. And
it's like hustlers. You know, we're all hustling the same thing, right? It's like,
just an idea.
We call it the Venn diagram approach, because we all overlap a little bit and we want to avoid those areas. But if we're crystal clear about where we all have a unique value add, it's just like we become a wedge instead of just a bunch of competing providers.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, one thing I would absolutely love, like this is, imagine this is me getting on my knees and begging, you know. If as end-to-end, if we could look at 2024 and just identify five conferences that we wanted to, all of us are going to put in proposals to speak. And so then, you know, if three of us get into that one conference, even if there's no expo, but we're the three of us are there and we're all sending. So this is what happened for me in ATD last year. Melanie Martinelli, who I met in 2018, had a session, and she was talking about a thing that she does. And in that thing that she does, normally she uses the box. For about 45 seconds, she put a box on her head in her session. And I would say about 40% of the foot traffic we got were people said, oh yeah, you know, I was at Melanie's session yesterday and she put that box on her head. And she said, I could find, is this that thing that she, you know. And that drove so much to me, just her doing that one gesture in that session that had nothing to do with the box at all, but it created that sense of curiosity and trust. Like, oh, Melanie thinks this is good. Well, she's awesome. So yeah, I mean, and then if we could like just, you know, choose four or five conferences that we wanted to all, or not all, because obviously, but you know, two or three people get together for a conference. Would another two or three people come in? You know, if we all signed up for Singapore, right? A conference at Singapore. And then we did an end-to-end before the conference at Singapore. And so we're not just flying in for the end-to-end piece. We're doing the end-to-end piece plus the conference. Then you can have little micro conferences around the world and we can get really good at helping each other win business and have fun. Woo! Sorry, I get a little excited about things like that.
So I'll put something out there. One of the things that I'm going to bring to market. So I talked about that in my previous life, I was in financial services. So specifically, I worked with foreign exchange providers. So it was this niche. And the conference that I used to attend as a vendor, right, was the Association of Financial Professionals. And I piloted a program for new supervisors to a former employer. And he was like, Catherine, you need to go offer this to all of our competition. And I thought, I can't believe you're telling me this. And so I, as you were talking, Nate, I thought, okay, I should be presenting it now at the Association of Financial Professionals, but I shouldn't be talking about an FX topic like I used to in the 90s, is going to be training related. And in this discussion, I'm realizing, Nate, your compassion, accountability, those folks need that too. So we need somebody else to come with me to that conference, and it should help all of us. Jimbo, all right. So it's one of those things, this be fabulous. I would really, really
love that. Yeah.
I'll get the dates for the Association of Financial Professionals and let you know. That's coming.
Even if we just get like a Google Doc, you know, that a shared document that somehow we could all, like the greater end-to-end network could have access to of what are the conferences that you're applying for, not even receiving that you've gotten in, but what are the ones that you're applying for and what's the link to add your application?
Yeah.
Right. And so then it's like, man, if I know Nathan's going to be there, of course, can we send people, you know, that I love that Venn diagram approach. Of course, there's going to be things where you say, oh, this is really more about mindset. That's what this box is all about, helping people change mindset. You got to talk to the box guy over there. Right. And oh, this is really more about empathy and compassion. You know what I mean? And so the better we understand each other, the better we can promote each other and the more fun we get to have. And damn it, that's part of why I go to conferences, because I want to have fun with cool people, you know? And we had a freaking blast. The
original answer to your very first question is, why do you go? To have fun. Yeah. It's not about ROI. It's like going to Vegas, right? You don't come home expecting ROI.
I had a colleague who used to call herself the conference junkie, and she used to love going because she literally was like, I'm just going to have a good time. I'm the conference junkie. And she'd come, she'd share a lot of what she'd learned. So Jimbo, I think you're definitely on to something of offering information to influencers that help bring the decision maker to you, right? As a
and it's not a price list. Right. I mean, it's not a buying sheet, right? Because that's what a lot of people have. It's real value and real connection. Yeah.
You were talking about this idea of how do we equip the people that come to our booth to go back and tell a compelling story. I'm curious, we're working on a lead magnet, a hook for ATD. Would you guys be willing to look at it? It'd take like 30 seconds. Look at it and see if you think it would work and how we might spin it, or if it gives any ideas for this conversation.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Can I suggest this? Oh, go for it. Is it ready to go?
Yeah, it's ready.
You ready to go? Oh, good, good, good. Do it, do it, do it.
So, of course, compassion and accountability is our thing. We're all about compassion as the antidote to drama. And so there's all this incredible research on what drama costs organizations, but it's really difficult to help people appreciate that. So we're partnering with a former IT guru from Accenture who's created the drama calculator. And in about 3 minutes, a person can actually calculate what drama is costing their organization. I want to show you how it works. See if I can share my screen.
Sorry. Maybe, that's going to be,
maybe I'm not allowed.
One of us. It should be.
Yeah. Okay. No, I can't. That's okay though, because I could pop the,
Yeah. Let us be leads.
I don't think I'm allowed. Well, I'll pop this link in, although I probably shouldn't be sharing with you, but I'm going to, because it's a test lead. But here's a link. You can go to it. If you just click on that, this isn't designed yet or anything, but what happens is a person clicks on it and they are asked a series of 3 or 4 questions about drama in their workplace. And it's like legit questions. And it's then it uses the intelligence. There's an algorithm that uses the intelligence of all the research that we put together, and it spits out a number, which is how much drama has cost you so far and how much it's costing you every week that you don't do something about it.
That's awesome.
And
that's awesome. We're
trying to, please don't share this with anybody, because this link is not just a test link, but it shows you how you can see how the algorithm works. We're trying to figure out if we could use this as like something to generate buzz and get people talking at ATD, and how prominent or how we would want to position it. Because there's identifying the problem and talking to the pain, but then of course we have the solution to that pain. I'm open or curious to any impressions you have or how you think we could leverage it. Yeah.
I can tell you that drama jumping out at me, it's getting people to talk about drama instead of talking about the cure. So rather than the drama calculate the cost of drama, is there a way to either the savings of compassion? I know you have a partner that you're working with, but I'm struggling. People have a hard time. They have drama and it's costing them this. And then you're asking them to then realize that if it make this stretch into, if I'm compassionate, then what? There's too much. You're assuming that individuals are going to work through all of the cognitive shift. That's just my initial reaction. Like, are you getting?
We're trying not to leave anything up to filling in the gaps, because as soon as you hit submit, you get a really kind of inspiring commentary about here's where you can go. Here's the solutions. Here's where it comes right after you hit submit. But yeah, if it feels too negative up front, then
it does. It feels like you're focusing on the drama instead of it's like you're focusing on the pain instead of focusing on the cure. That's just that could be a feminine response, but that's just how I experience it. Just saying.
And so that's really fascinating, Catherine, because I feel exactly the opposite, which is that why would I even care about compassion? Why? What problem does compassion solve? Oh, shit, compassion solves drama. Holy shit. Mm. So you're kind of starting, here's the problem. So folks, look, there's a problem and there's a solution. And the reason that I feel quite strongly about this in a different way, Catherine, is that, the difference that we can make with leadership and organizational communication is astonishing. And yet hardly anyone thinks they've got a problem. Like, everybody thinks they're a good communicator. Everybody thinks, well, yes, communication's a problem, but we can't do anything about it. And so they're not so they go, why would I go with story? What? Because they don't see that there's a problem. And so for me, the value of going, here's your problem, here's a problem solution, I really like it.
Yeah. No, what I like about it is, to me, I look at drama as part of the human condition. Like, there is no solution. Right. Like, that's what humans do when they organize us. If Dilbert taught me anything, that's what humans do when they organize, right? Is they create drama. And so to be able to put a number on that and offer a solution to that, anyways, I like it. And I think that's the kind of thing that is super helpful on the floor, because people will then be able to take that back to their, they can take that link and they can take that back. And if you put in some kind of a coaching call or so the call to action is interaction rather than information.
We have a whole campaign built to go as soon as they get their report, then they get the next thing, which is, hey, do you want to assess the compassion mindset in the company? Hey, do you want a diagnostic to start looking at where your opportunities and growth points are and stuff? And it goes from there. But yeah, I just didn't know. We have not tested it. It hasn't gone live yet. So I just appreciate your kind of knee-jerk reactions to it.
Yeah, sure.
I feel like a good way to...
And I just want to apologize to Catherine. I kind of jumped all over your
That's all right. I'm Greek. I'm used to 1,000 people like saying things, talking over me. I'm good. But I appreciate that. No, I mean, we all experience things differently. Like, and so me, when I hear people, you know, in the workforce, because we have such an unusual post-COVID environment where people are leaving, you know, we have these terms of quietly quitting, like, so it's just one of those things where I being bicultural, am very sensitive to words, right? And so, and if focus, and I'm in an environment, especially I'm in the DC area too. So folks are really, messaging really matters where I'm at. And so if you're focusing on the noise, then people are saying that person is the noisy one, right? So it's just, it could also be where I'm located. It could be where I'm located. So
yes, and your point, you bring up a dynamic that's way beyond what I think it brings us all together, which is, are you moving away from the pain or are you moving towards the solution? And what we've noticed is the further east you go in Europe that we go with our products, the more they want to talk about getting away from the pain. But the more you go to like best places to work companies, top employers, the more they want to talk about aspirational goals. They don't want to talk about why would you want to buy something you want less of? So I think it's a lot about knowing your audience, like you said, and the bicultural stuff. It's a great point.
Is it just
that's beautiful
to maybe be overly simplistic here, but is the way to bridge this, Catherine, to your point about messaging, just having a separate, more positively focused landing page that then leads into what you just showed us that sets expectations that if you want to know where compassion is going to lead you, and if you truly want an ROI on compassion, let's talk for a second about how you can calculate that. Maybe it's just about messaging it up front in a more positive way to begin with. And then before we can get to the positive, let's talk about the problem. And the problem is, and then you, so the next page would be exactly, Nathan, what you have there in place, but something maybe that they see first that is more positively positioned. Maybe that's the answer. It's just literally one simple step before you get to what you just showed us.
Nate, it so depends helpful. On who your customers so are and who you want to work with. Do you want to work with the people that are closer to the greatest, you know, at companies that are great, or people that are experiencing immense pain and just need, you know what I mean? So I can tell you that I have a preference, and clearly by my response, you know what my bias is. So
that's great. I just changed my core message. For the last 12 years, I always say that the purpose of the box is to help you get more of what you really want with less pressure. And I just yesterday I changed that to get more of what you really want with more freedom. You know, and it's that exact thing, Catherine, which is where's my focal point on this and where am I driving it? And this is not me making a strategic about my messaging for the audience. It's me making a strategic thing about who I am. Am I trying to run away from my pressure, or am I trying to run towards the future I want to create? And so everything that I'm doing now is let's imagine that future and let's build that future. And that's a different lure for a different kind of conversation. I want to share one last thing with you guys because this has been a game changer for me. And when I first listened to the end-to-end sessions on conferences, one of the things that everybody talks about is great conversations on the floor and nothing happens after. And you know, like that moment when you're with people on the floor and everything's going absolutely fantastic, and how do you capture that? And so I think I found a way that works for me, and it worked really, really well in Training Magazine. And I'm going to be implementing it even more in the conferences I'm running in May. I'm actually going to be at two conferences at the same time, one in Paris and one in San Diego. Just, you know, my body won't be at both, but my product will be. So I just want to share this with you because I think there's something here. Let me see if I can find where it is. And so some of you actually did answer my little questionnaire that I sent out. It's using a thing called Video Ask. And so what Video Ask does is Video Ask creates a video. They say that the best interface is your face. It creates a video that you ask a question, And then as people respond to your question, so like here, for example, is Mark responding to my question. And what it allows for is with Mark's response to my question, if I don't want to listen to Mark, I can just get a transcript. So Mark gave me a 2.5 minute or 2 minute response, and I can look through this. And I can also export that the transcript. So what this allowed me to do when I was in ATD, I was able to ask people when I met them on the floor and they said, oh yeah, this is great. You know, I really like this. Then I would say, can you open your phone right now? And can you tell me a little bit about what you experienced? Let me just turn on my share the sound. I was going to choose one here. And so here's Paul. And so I met Paul on the floor.
Based on what we're talking about, I really think that incorporating this either into our Emerging Leaders Program or into a senior leadership development program, where it gives people in our organization that are very stoic and very set in their ways a chance to literally think outside the box and try something new.
Okay, so you get it. So what has he told me? He's told me stoic. He's given me the key words that I need. All of this, I should just share my screen. Hold on a second. I'm doing this as, let me do it, just do desktop. Okay. So all of this can be exported as an Excel file. And so then, and all of this can link to a Google Sheet. So for example, as it comes in live time, so when I'm not in Paris, I could be looking at all these interactions. And now I can decide just based on what I read, the green ones are the ones that I thought have real value to follow up with. And the orange ones are ones that, okay, that didn't really, I don't think they're really my client. And what I can do is I can on the fly, I get an app and my app will say, hey, somebody just sent me something here. And then I can just send a quick response on the fly. And so what we did in Training Mag and what we're going to do in ATD is each one of the people at the booth is going to have their own video ask that they're getting people to connect with. So once you've told me what you think, I said, man, there's no way I'm going to remember this. Today's so overwhelming. Would you mind saying that again in a way where we can talk about this asynchronously later? Oh, yeah, sure. Here, take out your phone. Scan this QR code. Okay, yeah, give permission. Okay, yeah, just yes. Okay, great. Now just tell me what you just told me. Then we all go back as a team and we look through everything and we decide, okay, is the follow-up here to invite them to a conversation with Jimbo or to bring them to a 50-minute demo or to send them, you know, so we can kind of coordinate that follow-up later. And what I found out was I only did this the first day because I'm dumb. But what I found out was of those green, you saw the green interactions, I sent them all in those first 2 days. I sent them all a video reply in the video ask. It goes to the email. So it doesn't, you know, so everything goes through email. 80% of those turned into follow-up conversations, which is so much better than I'd ever experienced before. And so the fact that it allows people to have that asynchronous, but for me, what it gave me was I get to see their energy. So next week, I'm going to go back through these when I'm in England. I set an hour and a half for me to go back through those and I'm going to watch their video. I'm going to get myself back into that, the mojo of the expo floor. And I'm going to be, Paul, man, it was so great meeting you on the floor. I really enjoyed our conversation. I'm wondering, what can I do to help us keep moving forward? I sent you this. I sent you that. Would it be good for us to have another call? So someone else that we need to talk to, let me know. Here's my calendar. So I just wanted to share that with you. And then what I'm also doing with this is because this video ask is one-to-one, I'm using it in my online learning courses as a way for them to get asynchronous coaching. So instead of asking the question for the whole group, because the box goes into a lot of personal stuff, they're able to actually, at the end of each section, they're able to ask a question or give a story. And so next week I'm in UK doing a program with senior global leaders for a big company. And in my handout, I've got a link to the video ask, and I'm asking them to either tell a story or ask a question. And I'm going to make them do that in the training. At the end of the training, you know, I would love to have a one-on-one conversation with you today, but we don't have time. Let's set up a one-on-one conversation asynchronously. So that's I just wanted to share that with you, because it's a platform that kind of helps me do those things that I wasn't able to do before. That was the gift that I wanted to give you around something new. But the gifts that we all gave each other today, I think, were absolutely, you know, were fabulous. And I would love to find a way of sharing create a strategy greater than me around keynoting and conferencing and just showing up like Peter does, and just like, you're at a conference, I'll just show up. And I think that'd be great.
Well, this has been great. And actually, to the extent that folks are going to be going to ATD and there's a dinner going on or what have you, again, I'm not sure I'm going to attend the conference, but I'd be happy to swing down for a dinner potentially, depending on how schedules line up. So I'm not sure how, Peter, if you can facilitate the connections or whatnot, but it would be great to just know about the schedule.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And if you're
Nate, you've got to go. So see you, Nate.
No problem. I'm so excited to meet you all. We'll be connecting up in San Diego. See you. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Awesome. Take care, Nate.
I mean, between me and probably Jimbo as my proxy, because he's going to be there and he's done this before, we'll find a way for you guys to gather. Absolutely.
Sunday night.
Yeah.
I think Sunday night worked well last time. It's before the chaos hits, so maybe on a Sunday night. You know, people have set up their booth. You know, if you got a booth, you've set up your booth, and it's the calm before the storm. And yeah, so maybe that'll work.
Just a quick one before I wrap up. I wasn't planning on going, but all this energy is like, oh, maybe I should try and make it there. But I put this out there not just for myself, but I guess I'm asking for the broader audience too. Like, does anyone in this crew, and it would be good if Nate was still here, like, do any of you have any extra passes sitting around, like for the floor people? Because that in the past I've pulled off a pass from one of you guys sometimes, and that's been a nice way to get in if you've got spare ones. If you don't, you don't, that's fine. And I've never bought the full ticket, Steve. I did once, but then I never have subsequent. And I perhaps shouldn't be saying this whilst it's being recorded, but I've never had trouble walking into sessions. Like, you can go on the floor, you can get the floor ticket, and often that's a cheap ticket to buy, and I've bought that often, but sometimes colleagues have had a spare one, so that's nice.
Yeah.
And I've also gone to the rooms and watched things, and I've never been stopped with that simple floor ticket, right? And that's like a couple hundred bucks, that floor ticket. That's about it. So I don't go there deliberately trying to rot the system. I just did it once accidentally. I thought, oh, well, my mate's running this one, I just want to go and see that one. And then, like, no one checked. And I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll go and look at this other one. And then it just sort of happened from there. I just wandered around. So
Can I throw on a sweetener, a quick sweetener? I mean, if you want, for coming. And so I do this thing with James Bishop, who we talked about earlier, called Brains on the Beach. And we're going to have a Brains on the Beach in San Diego. So it'll be the Thursday night, all day Friday, all day Saturday, up in the wine country outside of San Diego. We're going to get around 12 to 16 humans together, and we're going to give ourselves a real challenge that we care about, break ourselves into four teams, and each team is going to get a different AI as a team member. And so we're going to do two things. One is we're going to come up with solutions to whatever this issue that we all care about is. And the second one is we're going to see what it's like to be co-generative with AI. And then by choosing different AIs, we'll have kind of a meta approach to, you know, what is it like to have, you know, ChatGPT or to have, you know, DALL-E or whatever as your teammate. So if you're interested, if you're going to come to San Diego, yeah, perhaps. perhaps.
Just the reason I say that,
if you're going to be coming to San Diego, oh, go ahead, say.
No, Gary, you finish. Go. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, if you're coming all the way to San Diego, come 3 days earlier, and spend 3 days up in the wine country, hanging out with cool people and experiencing the future by not using ChatGPT by yourself, but you know, actually being co-generative with augmented intelligence and having an opinion about that. So anyways, it's just a little thing that if you wanted to have a little bit more fun with a couple other really cool people, would love to invite you to attend.
All right. Thanks, Jimbo. I'm going to do the official wrap up. And then if you want to hang around, please do. I just listened most of the time there, and there's some nuggets in there today. That was an awesome little conversation. Thank you, everyone, for putting in your contribution and potential, some really good collaboration, actually. Next, 2024 we're talking about. So, look, lots to follow up on. Awesome nuggets in there. Thank you. Thank you so much for hosting this, Jimbo. I see you as the host today. And thanks, everyone else, for turning up. Cheers.
Thank you, Peter. All, Jimbo. Thanks very much. It's been a